Welcome to C2Y Podcast, discussions on child and youth care. My name is Wolfgang Vachon. On Thursday, July 19th, 2012, a group of about 30 young people who had grown up in state care established a protest camp at the Fourth Circle in Amman, the capital of Jordan. The Fourth Circle is an island in a sea of traffic across the street from the Prime Minister's residence. The young people had been there previously to ask that the state change the way they take care of children and youth in care and to create additional supports for them upon leaving. Like young people all over the world, they face many obstacles upon transitioning out of care and have poor prospects in numerous areas. Perhaps inspired by the youth-driven movements around the world in the past year, they decide to take things into their own hands and demand change. This was not the first time they had camped at the Fourth Circle. Previously, they had been told that their issues would be addressed and that changes would be made. They were also given a timeline for this process to start, within 10 days of them leaving. They left in good faith and waited for the government to address their issues. After the 10 days were over, no movement towards any changes had been made. Unsatisfied with being told one thing and seeing no results, these young people were back at the Fourth Circle. I had the opportunity to spend a couple of evenings at their camp. On the second day there, I interviewed a variety of them. None of the young people in care could speak English, an indication of the level of education they received while in care, since every child in Jordan is supposed to have English classes in school. Thus, all of the interviews were done through translators. The translators were people who were present at the protest to support the young people. None of them were professional translators, and some of the translations are different from what is said. For instance, in the group interview, the second interview, the young person was talking about sexual abuse between boys, and the person translated it as "by employees only." Also, I asked if there were any good staff, and the translator asked them if they had had any happy memories, to which they said, none. In the interview with the young woman, she talks about SOS group homes. She was asked whether or not SOS brings men over as prospects for marriage. The SOS does not invite men. She was talking about marriage that takes place between SOS graduates who decide to get married. Although, this is apparently rare, since many of the young people see each other as siblings. If you understand Arabic and would like to listen to the original podcast with the voices of the actual young people, please email me and I can send you the original interviews. Before I could return to the camp and say goodbye to the young people, the police came at 3 a.m. when there were no supporters there and the young people were sleeping. The police raided and evacuated the camp in an apparently violent manner. Some of the young people who were at the camp held a news conference the next day to describe what had happened. There are three separate interviews that follow. Two of them are one-on-one interviews, the first and last one, and one is a group interview. I hope you find the interviews as illuminating and informative as I did.
اسمي علاء الطيبي وعمري 24 سنة.
My name is علاء الطيبي. I'm 24 years old. I'm the speaker of all the orphans in Jordan, basically. And I'm the one that actually demanding all the trying to collect the rights for all the orphans.
In Canada, we don't use the term orphan, or the term orphan has a stigma to it. Why do you use the term orphan here in Jordan?
Unfortunately, we're special. We born, we came to this land, to this life. Everyone call us orphans because of our government and our homes. They keep using that term, orphans, orphans, orphans.
Is orphan a term that you like?
No, he doesn't like it. To him, he feels it's a shame thing now to call him an orphan. But we born, we raised, we lived by that term, orphans.
What term would you like to have people use?
Insan.
A human.
All right, that's a good term. Let me ask you a bit about your background and what brought you here. When did you first go into care of the government.
He was 2 months old because his father killed his mom, and he went to jail, and he passed away in jail. He was in a home.
What was life like in the home for you?
I say it's a nightmare. He will never forget that nightmare. The life, the hell that he used to live, an orphan, the way they treat him, and the way he's struggling his life now because of that bad life. And one of the things now, also one of the reasons, he fell in love with one of the girls in the foster care houses, and they let her out. She got AIDS, and she died. She passed away. So he's struggling now to claim all the rights. He doesn't want all the orphans now, the little ones, to live his life.
What would you like the life to be for orphans living in government care?
His vision, he wants all those government homes to be shut down and closed. And the idea for him is to have all the orphans to be adopted for families, that, let's say the ones that they can't have kids, for them to have a future and to have a normal life in school and family and college and a future.
Why aren't people being adopted in Jordan?
Because people, they have the idea that those guys, you know, because some of them, they came illegal way with no marriage, that doesn't know the father or the mother, the orphans. They have an idea that the orphans are bad people. They can't be adopted.
You guys don't seem like bad people to me.
You say, the way you said it, you know, it comes only for people that fear God, educated people, and open-minded people, regardless of them religion. But right now, it's hard to find people that fear God, actually, and they like to help humans, other humans.
While you were living in care, did you have any staff that you thought were good or helpful?
The staff, they were in the government care, they used to sexual abuse him. What do you want more than that?
Why are you here now?
You say to claim little right for everyone. To change the security number, the national security number, a social security number for us. Give us a little education or anything to work with, to be mixed with the community and become normal. And nobody calls orphans. No one look at the ID and say orphans. We just want to become normal. We want to have a normal life.
The ID that you have right now, there's a special number, and that number, when an employer looks at it, that number tells them that you're an orphan. Is that correct?
Yes, anywhere, they will spot it. In any other country, even in Jordan, now Allah, you shouldn't be taking that number, actually. In our law, it doesn't say that. But for some reason, someone been having the idea and giving them that number, which it shouldn't be. Legally, this is illegal.
You were here before, and the Prime Minister came and said, or the Prince came and said, they're going to make changes. You left for 10 days. What happened with that promise?
Prince Ali, he was passing by. He didn't come down. He didn't leave the vehicle. He ordered Prime Minister to come over. Prime Minister didn't. We saw a minister only. We didn't see the Prime Minister himself.
And did the minister say anything to you guys?
I say he's not a human. Every time he sees us here, he called the cops on us. And he disgraces us. He doesn't want us to be around. He say, I don't know how they put him in a government. That kind of person, he shouldn't be have any power.
I'd like to go back to something you said earlier, when you said that the staff sexually abused you. I see police all around here. What would happen if you went to the police after something like that happened?
You say back when it happened to them, they were kids. They didn't know what is it actually. They used to rape them and do all that. When they become a little teenagers, they start knowing that. So they did press charges against the staff and the human rights also. And until now, nothing happened.
They've never been charged, have never been prosecuted?
No, because he's from a well-known tribe, family. And those guys are forbidden kids, you know. No father, no mother, nobody. So no one looked at those people.
So this podcast is listened by people around the world. How can people support your movement?
For the people that are supporting us right now, those people support us with the food, with the water, with the life supply basically that we need, and they're supporting us all the time, so we feel that we are doing something. For other people, the way we want them to support us also, we don't want them money, we want them to help us, you know, to help us, to give us a career, help us to do anything handy, like being a carpenter or blacksmith or anything. That's how we need other people to support us. We don't want money. We just want, we want to become a human. We want to be normal.
Is there any way the international community, so people in Canada, United States, anywhere else, could help you?
They say, from my own perspective and from my own experience, yes, those people that lives in Canada and America and Europe, with one phone call, they could change this whole matter, this whole thing. Yes, they could help big time.
Anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
شكرا لوجودك معنا هو إله شخصي هدور اليومين.
First of all, he's thanking you for you being here with us and for you being so humble. You've been here for a couple of days. You're trying to help out with others. The way you communicate with them, you don't make them feel they're be ashamed of them. And the way you talk to the girls also, you were so humble, respectful with them. And he's thanking you so much for that movement.
Thank you.
شكراً ليلى.
Give him the microphone, one.
Okay.
And then each one will speak.
Okay.
And I will translate after them.
Okay.
Wanna
start?
My name is Osama.
Osama, how old are you?
عمري 22 سنة.
He's 22 old year.
And why are you protesting here today?
He says they don't have good food. They are homeless now. And he says about the his ID number. They have a special ID number which you can know from it. They are have no parents.
And if you have an ID number with no parents, what does that mean when you try to find a job?
Our society will not trust them. They said, well, they come from unknown places, unknown families. How can I trust them? How can I give him my daughter? How can I get him married with my daughter? So they have a big problem with these numbers. They said, and this number will give them a big problems with policies. You know what, when police, for example, see one of them and get his ID, you have no parents, shows they abuse them, they don't like them. You know, because of our society, these people are unliked in our society, so it will give them a big problem with others.
How is the government responding to this protest that you're doing right now?
Before 10 days, they promised them to solve their problems. Prince Ali was here, and he promised them to solve the problems with the president of government, Faiz Al-Tarawna, but they lied about what they said, and so they come here after 10 days to protest again.
So they were protesting, and then the promises were made, so they stopped protesting. The promises weren't kept, and they started to protest again. I would like to ask you a little bit about what it's like to be an orphan here in Jordan.
My name is Rakan.
Okay, people always treat them with as they know have no one to ask about them, so they abuse them, they treat them not well. So they say, always people say, they have no one to ask about them, so we can do whatever with them, and no one will ask us what you did that. and they have a problem with society trusting. They don't trust them. They don't give them a job because of IDs. Their IDs is special, so they notes that they are have no parent, have no one, so they always don't trust them and think they have came from bad places. And why should I give him a job and he will, for example, be a thief?
When you were growing up, what age did you go into care? What age did you the government start to take care of you?
Name Bakir. In
it's in different ages. Some of them at his first day, first week, 8 years. Some of them at 12. Some of them grow up, and he found himself in the care houses. Some of them, his dad dead, and his mother couldn't care about him. She couldn't. She have no job. She have no money. She have so she gave them to care houses.
And what is it like inside the care house?
He said, at first they don't treat them well. They abuse them. Some issues was about raping them.
The staff were raping the young people.
Yeah. From employer there raped them, treat them not well, abuse them, always punching them. Okay, they didn't teach them well. They can't read, can't write. And he said some of. They go. They went out from 12 years, not 18.
So they left care when they were 12 years old.
Yeah, under 18.
What was it like for you when you were growing up in care?
فهمت عليك. هذول جواديهم.
Okay. They don't treat them well. They punch them always. You can't talk. If the food was not good, you can't take that. You can't talk about the food. You can't say anything wrong. They always punch them, treat them not well. Sometimes they rape them.
Were there any good staff members?
They didn't have.
What would a good staff member be for them? What would a good staff member be like?
He would like if they treat them better than, care about their studies, make a fun for them, journeys, picnic. They didn't have any one of these things. And he wish if they get them out at 18, not before. He want to say something.
Ooh.
Okay, he wish if they love them. They didn't have got love there. He wish if they let them go to society with and they can depend on themselves.
He wish if they qualify them to be in the society, if they will educated, if they have a career to go to the society. Then اخر نقطه ايش حكيتها انت in other countries they qualify their people. In Germany there is a minister who was in the same situation and he has become a minister. Here they're not asking for that. They're asking to be qualified to be in the society, to depend on themselves, not to be without any skills to be in the society.
Is there something you want to add to that?
They are here for 20 days and no one asks about them, no one cares from the authorization. They're asking to they come and talk with them and solve this issues. We are starting Ramadan and we are fasting in the day, in the sun, and they're asking for a solution, not for ignoring them.
In Canada and in many other countries, it's okay not to be married. Here in Jordan, if you're not married, it's very difficult. If you're not married in Jordan, how does that affect someone's life?
Just a normal life before you married. Just you're single and you can It's not different. I mean, you are just single. No problem. Just about the sex. You can't have sex until you're married.
If a woman is an orphan and she comes out of the orphanage and she doesn't have a husband, is she treated the same as a woman who has a husband?
My name is Noor.
As all, women is no different about men.
A woman is no different from a man?
When they are out, no one care about them. When she is married, they have a home, they have somewhere to go. If she is not, she has nothing. She will...
She will go nightclubs, discos, having a bad sex, treat there as one of cases. She got AIDS, and she dead. And he was talking about a kid. He has a thalassemia, I think it's thalassemia, and he dead in the house caring because they don't care about them. They didn't give him to the hospital.
The married ones, they got divorced about 2 years, 4 years with their kids. So it is not a normal life. The girls that would to live a straight way and go and get married, they're not treated well. They live with her husband's family and with no rights, good rights. She treated her as someone from the street. And this is a fast way to get divorced. With some kids, she cannot care about them after that, and she wouldn't get them to the orphanage because they will live like here. So she came and with them like now and asked for her rights to get a good life.
I heard that some of the homes, the centers, they arrange marriages.
It is not like someone who loves a girl and would like to marry her or would like to make a family. It is just that we would like to get someone out from the orphanage and not taking care of him, save some money because he is out. They are not asking about people come with work, he has a job, he has a home, he is qualified to make a family. Just would like to get one, yes, we can give you one. And they do not ask about girls to be qualified, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and yes, go out.
So the men who are going to the centers to get the women, or the girls in the centers, they could be 30 or 40 or 50, and they're marrying girls. And how old are the girls in the centers?
The girls in the center could be 12 years, 30 or 40. The people outside, I don't know.
Let me ask you, what was your life like on a day-to-day basis growing up in the center?
Every center has a program defined for the orphans. And there is meals time, there is playing time for activities with no details. It's like a simple games for 2 hours afternoon. They play for 2 hours and just like that. It is a simple games like what you get in a simple garden around any city. It's not a good one, just for kids. If there is a hope in this, someone will hear it and help them.
When you ask for help, what kind of help would you like?
They're asking to be like any normal people here. They're asking to change their society number. It is different about the normal people. They're asking for a place to live. The king told them they will get, and the government is not doing that. It is always like that in Jordan. And taking care of them. There is not the only people here. There is 1,800 around all Jordan. Just here about 60 people. And they are thinking not about them, about all the people. They live with them, and they know that they are suffer from things like that. He make a brief that when they get out of the orphanage, they would like to get people to help them to get a job or to complete their education. They start a new life, not to end their lives.
Thank you. let me start by asking you your name and how old you are.
Okay. أنا اسمي ربا خريجة من قرى الأطفال SOS عمري 20.
Okay, she's Ruba. She's 20. She has two daughters and she hopes to have a home and a sweet life.
For her and for
her daughters.
Her daughter. She has got married in 2007.
And you were an orphan.
أنا يتيمة.
Okay, she's not. She's her parents dead when she was 1 year old.
And from 1 year old, you lived in a group home?
Okay, yes. She from 1 year to 17, and then she graduated to girls' house. Then she got married and have their two kids.
All right, let me get you this straight. Now she's separated with her husband, and she lived back with the SOS. With 17 more people. Right now she's looking for a home for herself and her daughters. That's one of the hopes that she works in.
And when you were living in the home the first time, from 1 to 17, what did you do on a day-to-day basis?
She only had a few activities with SOS outside because she was busy with school. She actually completed only like 10th grade at the SOS. So basically she was so busy to do any other activities. So that was her life, basically.
And was your education good?
تقريباً.
Very good.
When you were married at 17, how did you meet your husband?
She was on a visit, in a family visit on her sister's place. And she met that guy, her husband, actually over there. They started liking each other, so they started a little bit talking, and she got married.
I heard that in some homes, the staff arrange the marriages for the girls. Is that, have you seen that happen?
Okay, it's something about SOS and government houses. Government houses is something different. They treat them not good as SOS. Arranged married, they told us it was in Shahid house.
Okay, SOS, that's an international organization, basically. So they used to take care of the girls, basically. An arranged marriage, it wasn't there. They used to bring the guys, when they used to come, they asked the girls if they want to get married or not. But the public home, you know, for the government, these are the ones they used to force the girls to get married.
So SOS, which is an international organization, would invite men to come, and if everyone was interested, then a marriage could be arranged.
Ah, so.
Yes. That's how it goes there.
And in the government homes, they would force the marriages.
She only know the situation of the SOS only. So SOS, you know, they don't force you to get married. If you like the guy, if you talk to him, if you fall in love, you want to get married, it will happen. Otherwise, marriage never gonna happen. But the public homes, she doesn't have a clue about that one.
When you were in SOS house, did you have staff that you thought were good staff?
Basically, the admins what she can see better if they get closer to the orphans. But it's like a job to them only. They work from that too, and only get paid and they leave. They don't care about the orphans. She wanted to get more active with them, get close to them, ask them needs, keep close to them about what they want to do, better education, better this and that. But they have no clue about the orphan. They just stay in office and they leave.
When you got divorced, you moved back to SOS, yes?
Okay, when she got divorced, she called the SOS, but nobody picked up or returned the calls. So she went back to her brothers, Allah, and the other guys, and to tell them, this is my problem, and they're trying to work it out, basically.
Is it difficult to be a woman in Jordan and not be married?
She doesn't care how others look to her. Always she cares about herself and her daughter. As a single mom now, always she thinks about how to survive and how to provide a better life for the daughters only.
You've chosen to be here and to protest with other people here. Why are you protesting here?
She only have one goal, which is to support the others by having a house, a good living, and a future. Yes, she have a normal national security number, but she support them because they have only one demand, to have to live with dignity only.
How is it that you have a normal national security number and the other people here don't?
She does have a family. Her mom and her parents passed away. Her uncle put her there. So basically she knows the father, the family and all that. So she's a normal citizen, basically. A normal number.
So if you know your mother and father, even if they're dead, then you can have a normal security number. But if you do not know your mother and father, then you cannot have a normal security number?
Yes.
How old are your daughters?
One year and a half, the second one 4 years old.
And are you working now?
No, she's looking for a job.
Is it hard to find work?
Ma ba'raf, lani lissa ma dawarat.
She doesn't know. She's still looking, basically.
Is there anything else you want to tell me?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.